listening to Abiding Hope Church's podcast of our weekly sermons. For more information about our church, please visit abidinghope.org.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Have you given much thought to what in the world possessed those men, and they were four men there on the seashore, what possessed those men to follow Jesus? Ever think about that? Like, why would Peter and Andrew, James and John leave their family, leave their livelihood, and follow this guy? There's got to be more to the story. There has to be more to the story. Surely they knew Jesus, or at least had heard of him. I mean, they're all from Galilee. Jesus at this point is about 30 years old. Maybe Jesus has, he bought his fish from Peter and Andrew or from James and John, right? Maybe they had encountered each other in the marketplace or other places. But it just seems odd to me that Jesus comes along and says, "Follow me," and they go. Right? They go. There must have been something that was telling them to do this. There must have been something within them that was calling them forward, calling them to say yes and to go along with Jesus. Well, would you do that? Would you follow Jesus? Would you be willing to give up and aspects of your lifestyle, aspects of what you do in order to make sacrifices to go forward and follow Jesus? I mean, Peter, Andrew, James, John, they had no idea what they were getting into. They didn't know where they were going. They were just following, right? They weren't leading. They were just following. I don't know that they had any idea that they would be drawn into a place of sacrifice and suffering and pain. That they themselves, not only would they witness the brutal crucifixion of Jesus, they themselves would endure oppression and persecution because of following Jesus. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to follow Jesus in a way that causes us to sacrifice, causes us possibly to suffer or to hurt? I think the Holy Spirit speaks to all of us. I think the Holy Spirit is constantly coming to us and nudging us and drawing us into places and into situations where God wants to use us. Because we are the delivery system for love and life in this world. We are the delivery system for what God is wanting to get done in the world. It doesn't happen by magic, it happens through people. And I think the Holy Spirit constantly comes to us every day to draw us into moments and situations where God wants to use us. But are we listening? Do Do we even know how to listen to the Holy Spirit, to hear the Holy Spirit, to discern whether it's the Spirit's voice or just my own head, right? And so I think we need to do this work in community. A tool that we use is contemplation, contemplative practices. Contemplation is different from meditation. Meditation is when you're working on mindfulness, you calm your mind, you let thoughts come and let them go, you calm your body, you practice breathing, right? That's meditation. Contemplation is a seeking. In contemplation, we're seeking information. We're seeking God's guidance. We're seeking the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the process we use for this is created by a woman named Elaine Heath. Elaine is a Methodist minister. She was the dean at Duke Divinity School. And Elaine has created an organic contemplative community in North Carolina where these folks actually live together. They farm. They raise food to resettle refugees. They raise food to feed the hungry. They don't worship one day a week. They worship all the time in how they're living their lives. It's a powerful, powerful model for what Christ, I think, had in mind in creating communities that are transforming people's lives. But in Elaine's system, the first step in this contemplative work is to be present to self and context. In other words, it's taking time to just pay attention to what's happening in me right now. What's happening around me? What's happening in my family, in my workspace? What's going on in the community? What's going on in the world? Just paying attention and being aware of self and context. That's step one. Step two, then, is discerning what God is trying to do in the world, what God is trying to do in me, what God is trying to do around me, in my family, in my community. What's God up to? How is God trying to transform me? How is God trying to serve and transform those around me? So step one is being present to self and context. Step two is discerning God's activity within me and around me. Step three, then, is to make a conscious decision to participate in God's activities. We usually do it the opposite way, right? We pray to God to get God to do what we want, right? To get God on our side, to get God to sign up for our plan. But what we need to be doing is to find out what God is doing and then to get involved with God's eyes. What does God care about? What breaks God's heart in the world? What causes God to weep? And remember that the ark, that God's activity, the arc of God's activity is long. God is working over time, over history. It's long. And so the fourth step is the hardest one, and that is surrendering all outcomes to God. We're not in charge. This isn't about us getting done what we think needs to get done. This is about us coming alongside the Spirit and working for God's mission, for God's purpose, which means we might not see the fruit. We might be the ones that plant the seeds, do some watering and some tilling of the soil, but we may not be around to see the fruit. But that's okay. Right? That's okay, because we're called to serve God. So I'd like to do something a little different here this morning. I'd like to open up for conversation around what is it that you see in the world right now? I'm going to help with a little contemplative stuff. What is it that you see in the world right now that breaks your heart? That breaks your heart? That you just know it's not right. And you know it breaks God's heart too. And darn it, something's got to be done, right? We've got to do something about these types of things. So I want to open it up for you to share maybe what's on your heart. What is in the world right now that breaks your heart, that you know breaks God's heart? What do you think? Yeah. Ukraine. Sorry?
Ukraine.
The Ukraine war. Amen. War of any kind. War of any kind breaks God's heart, and it breaks our hearts too. We need to be about peace. And not just peace between nations, peace in our homes too, right? Peace universally, across the board. Absolutely. That's a good one. Yeah, Marjorie.
The reality that this is happening, but almost the feeling that families or relationships should be broken because of disagreement. when we can disagree,
yeah,
and still love. There's almost a feeling of, well, we disagree, so.
Yeah. We're seeing division and brokenness within family systems because people disagree. She likes how I summarized it. We're seeing division in families and systems because of disagreement, as though disagreeing is wrong. We're allowed to disagree. We don't have to see eye to eye on everything, but we're called to love, right? We're called to be present and to care for one another. What's better, that we hang out with people who think like us and agree with us on everything all the time, or we have meals with people who disagree with us and we love each other, right? We're committed to love each other beyond the disagreement. Boy, does our world need that right now. And I think that breaks God's heart. Yeah. Dale, you had your hand up.
Well, it was similar. Wanting to be right and put people down.
Being convinced that I'm right and you're wrong, and because you're wrong, I can belittle you. I can dehumanize you. I can say anything I want to you. Where did this come from? That we think it's okay to be able to say whatever we want to other people, right?
If we're uncertain, we're more willing to listen.
Yeah, right. We need to be willing to listen. Thank you. I saw, yeah. There's a lot of violence these days, a lot of violence, all kinds of different kinds of violence as well. It's not just physical violence, there's psycho-emotional violence, right, relational violence, and that breaks God's heart, breaks God's heart. Remember, Jesus was a victim of violence, unjust violence. Yeah, yeah.
The misunderstanding of mental health and LGBTQ.
That's right. We need to stop labeling people. We need to see every single person as a child of God, as a human being, period. But we label folks, LGBTQIA, mentally ill, homeless, whatever, and it's degrading. We do it in a way that says you're not okay. You're lesser than as a person. We need to get to the place where we honor the humanity in every single human being. Thank you for that. Yeah. Can you say that louder? I'm old. Yeah, say it louder.
The oppression
and murder that's happening because of peaceful protests against the Islamic regime in Iran. You know, what's going on in Iran, of the persecution of protesters who are just seeking freedom, seeking liberty. Public executions are happening. It's horrific. It's absolutely horrific, and that breaks God's heart. I know that breaks God's heart. I'm going to get over. Oh, we'll hit.
The drug addicts and the homeless and the mentally ill on our streets.
Yeah, there's a lot of needs. A lot of needs these days. I had a meeting with the CEO of Lutheran Family Services recently about all the migrants who have recently come into Denver. Lutheran Family Services, Denver Rescue Mission, they're working overtime to figure out how to care for all of these folks. We're seeing a rise in homelessness again as we've come out of the pandemic, especially homeless families. We're gonna be hosting Family Promise here. That's a ministry, you heard me talk about it, where homeless families come, they stay in the church for a week, then they move to a different church, and they're being helped to save money so that they can afford their own place. It's a path towards sustainability. And these are great needs in our community today. Absolutely, it breaks God's heart. Come over here. Yeah, Lisa.
Children and youth that don't feel valued or loved.
Kids that don't feel valued or loved. Young people who are questioning their own value. Young people who think that life may not be worth it. Breaks God's heart. Breaks our hearts as well. Absolutely. The church is in crisis. Christianity is in crisis. We see it across denominational lines. And there's the reason, one of the reasons, there's multiple reasons why Christianity is in crisis today. But one of the reasons is because the church, and all of us need to take a hard look at ourselves, the church has been hypocritical over the years. The church has injured people by labeling people, excluding people, saying some are in, some are out. And the church has become irrelevant for several emerging generations. And this is why we work really hard to send the message that all means all, that every single human being is a child of God, and that we're trying to create or generate a voice for the church that isn't hypocritical, mean, judgmental, and exclusive. And we've got a lot of work to do in that regard, no question. I saw another hand over here. Yes, ma'am. Bullying and cyberbullying, a big problem. Big problem. The social media stuff, you know, I don't do social media because I'm afraid of what my college fraternity brothers will post on my sites. I haven't always been a pastor. Okay. But this cyberbullying through social media, you know, kids attacking one another, putting one another down, but adults do it too. Adults do it too. Family members do it to one another through social media. What is this? What do we think's going to happen? What good can possibly come from that, right? And so here's the thing. You know what breaks God's heart. You know it because it breaks your heart too. We feel it. And every single day, we need to be in a contemplative posture to be aware of what's going on around us and to be listening to the Holy Spirit's nudges to step into situations and be that voice for hope and healing and wholeness and love in our world. But here's the thing. You might suffer doing that. When you take a stand for justice, when a kid sees another kid being bullied and steps in, the bullies might turn on that kid who intervened, right? When we step into situations where injustice is happening, we may have to make sacrifices ourselves. We may become an object of oppression or attack. Are you willing to go there? Are you willing to follow where Jesus is leading you? Knowing that it will require sacrifice and it will involve pain. It won't be easy. The disciples didn't know that the one that they followed would be nailed to a cross, that he would suffer. But in that moment, we learn how far our God will go for us. We learn that our God isn't afraid of pain. Our God isn't afraid of death. And on the third day after Jesus died, God raised Jesus to show us that love and life win. Love and life win. We're promised that the evil, the darkness, the dying, the suffering of this world won't have the last word. And that trust that we have, that love and life win, that's what empowers us. That's what fuels us to follow Jesus, to go where he goes, to step into the things he calls us into. And so there's a lot of brokenness in our world today. Brokenness in our families, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our neighborhoods. And we're being the ones now that Jesus is coming to say, will you follow me? Will you follow me? And we can say no. We can ignore it. We can look the other way. And then the world continues to suffer. Or we can stand up like Peter, Andrew, James, and John, not knowing fully where we're going, and simply trust Jesus and say, send me. I will go. May we follow Jesus into the path of love and life so that we all may experience real life in Jesus' name. God loves each of you, and I do too. Amen.